Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and I'm really excited about my guest today because they're going to give us some very powerful messages. Most of us have dealt with challenges and adversity in our lives and hopefully overcame them and learned how somehow to overcome those challenges, those adversities. And my guest today will really share that the challenges that they faced that have really strengthened them and made them who they are to be the successes that I are today. And they're going to also demonstrate how they were able to make their dreams come true. The stories are fascinating stories, and to me they represent stories of courage, determination, and of course, ultimate success. My first guest is Barbara Hiefmeister, and she's an internationally renowned speaker and author, and she helps people get their dreams back with the courage to make them come true. She has a book. Her book is called To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours, and I've actually looked at it, and it's beautiful, and I recommend it to anyone. And this book offers you techniques and insights that will take personal growth, your personal growth, to a new level. So how can you beat that? She's the founder of the To Be Success System and also a refugee from communist Germany. So she knows firsthand what it's like to live in adverse circumstances and to emerge really, really strong. So without further ado, it's my honor to introduce Barbara Hiefmeister. Barbara, how are you?
I'm fine, Joanne. Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's certainly a pleasure. I love the story. Now, you and I have spoken, and I've been on your show. You have a radio show, too, which is great. And I just think it's so important that we initially start off with you sharing that incredible story of really survival and leaving communist Germany with your family. So I don't want to tell your story because I think you can do it so much more beautifully. So tell us your story, and then we'll get more into in depth about what you do current day.
Well, as you said, I was born in former communist Germany. And for me, really, as a child, it was perfect because we lived in a small village. My parents were well off. My father was a real entrepreneur by heart, I mean, from a very, very young age. And so we had our own home. We had the first television in the village, you know, the first private TV, the first private telephone line. So we were sort of considered like the richest people in the village. And
right.
My mom was at home. I was the first grandchild in the family, so all my, you know, all four of my grandparents spoiled me rotten. My aunts and uncles spoiled me, so for me life was perfect. But for my father, who had this dream of becoming a, you know, a successful entrepreneur, it was dreadful. Because the communist regime did not allow entrepreneurship at all. So they gave him a lot of problems. And when I was 8, my father decided it's time to leave before they close the borders any further, you know, that we can't get out anymore at all. So from
right.
one moment to the next, without me, without my parents telling me anything, we left. And I left everything behind, you know. I left all my friends behind, all my family members, my beautiful pink little girl's room. And the next day we were in Western Germany with nothing but the clothes on our backs. And we ended up in a small attic room where we lived for the next 3 years without bathroom or anything, you know, one small room for the whole family. And I hated it with a passion because suddenly I had no family, I had no friends, I couldn't roam the countryside, I didn't have my dog anymore, and worst of all, I didn't have my parents anymore because they worked day and night trying to make back what they'd left behind. So it wasn't those days really that I made a decision, and that was when I am old enough, I'm going to live my life my way, you know. I'm not going to let somebody else make decisions like this ever again for me.
And, right. You know, I think it's so important because it has such a profound effect even on your choice of occupation, on what you do now, on what how you teach others. And I just think it made such a difference. And I know from speaking with you and hearing your story and seeing all that you do, it strengthened you immensely. I want to get into your book because I think that that's something that, that people need to know about. And I, like I said, I've been lucky to have looked at it and been inspired by it. But let's talk about what inspired you to write the book. And the book is called, folks, To Be or Not to Be. I love it. The Choice is Yours. So what was the inspiration for the book?
The inspiration was came out of a little bit of frustration, as it happens sometimes. And it was because I started in 1978, you know, on my own personal growth and on my own healing processes, when a friend gave me a book by Dr. Dyer. And over the many years, I read hundreds of these self-help books. And I noticed that a lot of them promise all kinds of things. You know, they promise to show you the way so that you can follow. But then they tell you what to do, but they don't show you how to do it. And that really got to me at one stage. You know, I had just ordered another 5 books by Amazon. I'd gone through them, and I knew the tools. But, you know, I wanted to find something that I could share with my clients, that I could say, okay, get this book, and there it has the A to Z blueprint, you know, that you can follow. And I couldn't find it. And one day I was having breakfast with an American friend of mine, and I complained to him about this. I said, you know, this is really getting to me. They promise all kinds of stuff, and it just is not in there. They don't give you the tools and techniques. And he looked up and he said, why don't you write it? And I said, okay.
And, you know, that's oftentimes how something happens, whether it's from from a challenge or that you're searching so much for some information, but it's not there, and you figure out, okay, well, it's time to make it happen. It's time to put it there. Now, you have a great quote.
I'm not sure, you know, if he hadn't told me like that, and he was pretty, you know, insistent because he told me 3 times in the course of the next hour, and when he left, he really said to me, Barbara, I'm serious. Why don't you write this book? And I thought, he is right. You know, I sat down and I thought about it and I thought, he's right. I'm always telling my clients that they have to walk their talk and they shouldn't groan and complain. They should do something about it, you know, if they're not happy with situations. And I thought, look at me, here I am, and I'm groaning and complaining. So it's time to do something about it, yeah. So that got me on to start the book. And
I think
I'm really
that's
glad.
I think that's how many people make changes and innovations that start to move us forward and change the world and change how we do things. So bravo. I want to get a little bit in depth with the book. So what can people expect as they're using the book? Because what I noticed about the book is that it's not just a read. It really allows you to do, like you're talking about, well, it has the how-to. So it gives techniques and ways to really work with that, to do what you need to do for you, to grow, to become successful. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's a real step-by-step system, you know. I put it in there, first of all, in as easy to understand ways as possible so anyone can follow it, no matter where they come from, no matter what age group, no matter what background. And I also use very easy to follow techniques. No big explanations and scientific research, because there's plenty of books out there that explain that. Actually, this is a doing book. It's a workbook, and it starts with the end in mind. That's the first chapter, because
right.
I found that about 90 to 95% of the people, especially in the Western world, have no clear direction in life. And I find that scary, you know. I mean, this is a very large percentage of the population. And if you don't know where you are going, how can you ever expect to get there?
You know,
I see that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I see that as one of the main reasons why so many people are working so hard, but they are not really getting, you know, they're not really feeling fulfilled and happy with their life. They're not really getting anywhere because they don't have that clear direction. We've got to know what the outcome is that we want in our life, who we want to become, and what our purpose here is, so that we can walk towards that. And you and me, we both know that really well because we're doing it. But
right.
I have to say, I wasn't always clear on it either. So
I think it's a process. And I think that you and I are still in process. I think that's part of living. Right, we're always in process. But you hit it right on. You have to really be able to have some kind of idea. And that doesn't mean it doesn't change, but have some kind of idea as a direction for yourself and even a direction for your work or for your business, your relationships. And so you use a quote by Confucius, and the quote goes like this, so it seems to follow what we're talking about. If you don't change the road you're traveling on, you'll probably end up where you're going. And to me, that's what we're talking about. So how do people actually go through the steps? How do people find the answers that they're looking for to really change that road and look at that road and say, well, maybe I need to veer to the left, or maybe I need to create a new road?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, first of all, I mean, I asked a lot of questions in the book, and I asked people to answer those questions and really take it serious. It takes a lot of soul searching and looking at your navel, you know, looking at your life, what's working, what isn't working, what can you do about it, what turns you on, what gets you excited, what gets you up in the morning, and so on and so on. And all the answers are within us. They're already there. So all I do really is take them through the processes, so people need to take some time to reflect and then build that vision of their ideal life, you know, of where they want to go and what will it look like when I get there? Because that's important. When you look at athletes, you know, the top athletes, they all have emotional coaches, I mean mental coaches. And before they go to a big race or play a big game or whatever, those mental coaches actually make them see themselves already past the finish line, having been the winner. And this is how, before they start running or playing, they already know what it will feel like when they make it to the other side and they are number one or two or three. And this is
What you're talking about is a form of mental rehearsal, which is so very important because it works. And you do have to have that sense of direction and kind of live it internally, as you're talking about in visualizing it and feeling it.
Yeah,
now,
some people say, "Oh, I can't visualize." And because they have these high expectations that it has to be like a 3D movie, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Anybody can visualize. So
it's funny. I remember years ago taking some kind of like self-development training and coaching training, and we were talking about visualization, and somebody raised that point. I can't visualize. I can't see something with clarity or in color. And at that point, the speaker said, okay, I want everybody to not visualize an apple. Don't, whatever you do, don't visualize an apple. And then he asked the people, well, what happened? And almost 99% of the people in the room did just that. They visualized an apple. But as you said, Barbara, it didn't necessarily have to be with all that clarity and in color. Mm-hmm. It was just still a visualization. Now, why do you think, because you have mentioned before that there's only a very small percentage of the population that's really aware of their principles and even aware of their direction. Why do you think that's true?
Well, I think it has partly to do with our society, our educational system, because we use this cookie-cutter, systemized, one-fits-all approach, you know, which was good 150 years ago when most people worked in factories and they didn't have to think, they just had to do, you know, the same thing over and over and over again for 40 years of their life, and then they made enough money to live. But today things have changed very much. Today we've got to actually think ourselves. We have to be flexible. We have to be able to start several careers. And we have to make decisions much more than we had the opportunity to do some time ago. It has something to do with that. And, you know, also it's a bit scary. It's easier when you're a young person, you hardly ever know what you want. You've got big dreams, but you don't really know what you want. And so you get influenced by your parents, by your peers, by the schooling system and so on. And you think, okay, I have good grades, and with the good grades I will get a good job. But what that job will be, we don't really know. You know, we just hope for the best. And then maybe 30 years later, we wake up one day and we think, hey, was that it? You know, is that
right. What
I wanted?
You know, so what you're talking about is people just really not doing a lot in terms of future planning or even planning except for the day right after today or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I'm noticing that both of us write books where people have to really kind of do some soul searching and do some experiential activities. But I often find in my coaching, and I think you do the same, that a lot of people initially are reluctant mm-hmm. to do that. They don't want mm-hmm. to soul search. They don't want to do that. They think it's a chore. It's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody even said to me, it's depressing. I don't understand how it's depressing because I think it could be wonderful. But people sort of shy away from this. Why do you think that's so, and how can we turn that around?
I think it is so because it's kind of, it's not something that we are used to. So whatever is unusual for us, it seems to be scary, you know. Our inner voice starts to set in and starts to give us all types of controversial messages, like this is dangerous. You know, as soon as we do something different, we get all these warning signals. Oh, this is dangerous because it hasn't been done before, hasn't been done by us before. So, you know, we start to feel uncomfortable. Also, we don't really want to know the answers because we might not like the answers. So it's not a conscious thing, you know, but is this, well, do I really want to look there? Maybe I won't like what I see. And so we rather not look and continue as we are because we can bear that. We know it, so we can bear it. It's our so-called comfort zone. Even if the comfort zone at times is really uncomfortable, it's still our comfort zone, you know. I mean, why would a woman, for instance, stay in an abusive relationship for years and years?
You know, I see that, and you see that too. People staying in their comfort zone, even if they're miserable, because, like you said, it's easier, and the thought of the unknown is so scary. Now, you have not been in your comfort zone. You have been in personal development, and I know what that's like, for 33 years. 33 years, Barbara. That's miraculous and remarkable to me. So what's the beginning of that? How did that start?
Well, the beginning really was because my friend gave me this book by Dr. Dyer, and at the time I had such low self-esteem, such low belief in myself, you know, no confidence whatsoever, but I tried to cover it up by being cocky and being, you know, I pretended that I was a confident young woman, but I was not at all. If somebody gave me a compliment, I either brushed it off, you know, like, yeah, not at all, it's nothing. But normally, I took offense when they gave me a compliment because I thought they were making fun of me. I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't deserve praise, so I couldn't take it. That was horrible. And it came from, you know, being abused as a child, being raped as a teenager, and all kinds of stuff like that. So, I had a few really tough years. And it turned me into that insecure young woman. And when my friend gave me this book, it was so funny. On the back of the book, it says, "What's Wrong With You?" That's the title of the back. And when she gave it to me, and I turned it around, I thought, "What's wrong with you?" I thought, I don't need this. Why is she giving that to me? You know, I don't need a self-help book like that. And I put it away. I felt offended. I put it away, and a few months later, I had nothing else to read. So I looked into it just because there was nothing else to do on that day. And I was absolutely blown away because it was talking to me. That book was written for me. And this is when I started to realize that I'm not alone, because he didn't know me, so obviously he hadn't written it for me. But I realized there must be other people out there, otherwise this book would never have been written. And just that revelation that I'm not alone and that I can do something about it, that was a big breakthrough. And that was started me on my journey. At first, I just read books. And then slowly, slowly, I started to go to seminars. And I tell you, I'm still going today. Every single year, I've already been to 3 this year, and I travel worldwide to go to these things. I've been to New York, upstate New York in February. I've been to the UK in March. And this month, and of course now I'm going to the Festival of Enlightenment, where I will be one of the speakers, but at the same time, I'm going to go to all the workshops that I can go to, you know, while I'm there.
Right. Well, I commend you, because I think that we are lifelong learners, and I think you exemplify that beautifully. Not only are you teaching and helping other people grow and move past those self-doubts and low self-esteem, but you're living it and you're helping change people's lives, which I think is just so wonderful. So how can people get in touch with you, and how can people get your fabulous book?
Well, people can get in touch with me through my hub site. That's www.barbarahoffmeister with one F, Barbara H-O-F. M-E-I-S-T-E-R, BarbaraHoffmeister.com, or they can go to the book website, which is www.thetobebook.com, thetobebook.com. They can, of course, also get the book on Amazon. The title, again, is To Be or Not To Be, The Choice Is Yours. And they will also see on Amazon another book that I brought out recently, and that is called To Be Inspired. And it holds 1,001 inspirational quotes and also a couple of hundred of my own quotes. So that's also available. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's the book. I haven't seen that one yet. I have to check that one out. So it has
published it last month.
Ah, I see. I missed out on that. So it has quotes from other people, like famous people, and then your quotes
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so quotes that go back in time and present-day quotes, or who are some of the people who are quoted in the book?
Oh, Shakespeare, Goethe, I can't remember now, Confucius, you know, I mean, all kinds of, you can see in my book also, I use a lot of quotes. I love that because they give me so many ideas. Whenever I'm feeling low, for instance, I look through my own quotes. This is how I collected so many, because I've been collecting them for many years now. And they always give me some answers.
And you know what? I find that true, too, and they're so inspiring. So do you have a quote, not somebody else's quote, but do you have one of your favorite quotes that you could give us if you remember? I'd love that.
Well, one, or maybe not so much a quote, but one saying that I use quite a bit is that you will only grow, you will only get as far as your confidence lets you. Because as I have made that in my own, you know, that experience in my own life, is when we don't believe in our own abilities, when we don't believe we can do something, we will not take the necessary action steps to actually get it done. We will make feeble attempts, and at the very first obstacle, we will stop. At the very first hurdle, we will stop, because we don't really believe that we can do it. So we sort of try, but we don't go all the way. And that's the difference between the people that are super successful and the average person, is that they have that, they know what they want, and they have that strong belief that they can make it happen. So no matter what, they just take that next step and that next step and that next step. And if it is a step back because something doesn't work, so be it, you know. But they still see the big picture. And, yeah. And that's, for me, is what life is all about, you know. It's not about having obstacles, because that's what also another thing that I see in so many people's life. They focus on the problems, not on the solutions. And when you focus on the problems and on what isn't working, then it's very difficult to find solutions for that. You know, like Einstein said, you can't find a solution with the same thinking that got you into the problem. So we've got to,
right. So you have to do different, look at things differently than before to be able to solve a problem. I think you're right. I think people give up so very easily, and their focus needs to be on moving forward. And I think that people can't, you know, I don't believe, and this is me because I write a lot about courage and creating confidence. And I don't believe that confidence is something that we're born with. And even from your story, Barbara, where you came from low self-esteem and some abuse that you had to go through, and I know both of us have worked with people who've been in abusive relationships or come from abuse, and the feelings that people have about themselves during that time and even afterwards that have become pervasive, or that they're not good enough and something's wrong with them, that they created that in some way. But it takes a certain kind of strength to grow your confidence, and a certain kind of strength that you had to be able to sort of brush yourself off from that, look your low self-esteem and the I'm going to say the word horrific, I know that's a strong word, look at all that in sort of in the face and be able to move on in spite of it. And that, to me, represents an extraordinary person such as yourself.
Thank you.
So you've been a wonderful guest. And, folks, I want you to go to Barbara's website and really check her out, her book. And, Barbara, I'm going to check out that new book because that sounds fascinating. And I, too, love quotes. I think they help us so much to grow. So
thank you
again for being a guest on my show, and we'll do it again, hopefully.
We will do that, Joanne. And thanks very much for having me. And if anybody will be at the Festival of Enlightenment just a couple of weeks now, I will see you, and make sure to come and say hi, because I'm going to be there for the full week. Just check out their website, festivalofenlightenment.com, and say hi when you're there. You know, make sure that to get your book signed, and, you know, come to me with any question. And, yeah, I look forward to meeting some of my American readers and my American clients in person.
Thanks again, Barbara. Have a great day.
Thanks. Speak soon.
And in just a moment or so, I'm going to introduce another wonderful person who initially had to face adversity and had to go past naysayers who said it's not possible, you can't do this, to prove them wrong and to really go after his dream. And this is Chris Treese, who's proof of how you can make your dreams happen. He received an All-State and All-American honors in football, but he was told that he was too small to play. And he was told this many times, and this was something that he really wanted to do. It was in his heart and in his soul, and yet people said, nope, impossible. He also attended the University of Tennessee in Knoxville on an athletic scholarship. Chris is today a motivational speaker, the founder and CEO of Treese Advantage Marketing. He's an author of the best-selling book, Driven, which we're going to talk about today, and the host of the radio show, The Chris Treese Show, the hottest show on the internet. And we're going to hear about some of his new releases, this book called Mistaken, that's a telltale book about his life, and another upcoming book, which will boast a documentary that's scheduled to be, I think it's to be released in 2012. So Chris is going to teach us how to unleash our passion and fulfill your own dreams. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Thank you.
Wait.
It's an introduction.
Me?
Yes. Can you hear me, Joanne? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. That's great.
So thank you so much for that introduction.
Thank you. Well, you helped that along a little bit, I must say, by providing me some great information so I can do that. But I love your story. I love sort of the fact that, and I think that I'd love to start with that before we get into the book, because I think our listeners are always so fascinated about how people can push past all the odds and the people who say you can't, you won't, you shouldn't, and do it anyway and emerge like you did and like you are to be victorious and to triumph. So tell us a little bit about the struggles that you had to go through and the hardships along the way to make you who you are today.
I have been told my entire life, and it seems like on a daily basis, that I can't do something. And that really just irritates me. It started out, well, I'll just show you. But now it kind of gets at me sometimes because I'm still the same way, and I'm 43 now, and I'll just go and show you. When I was younger, my dad had taken a position with a company, and he had to move to Germany to train for 6 months. And my mother wouldn't let me play football. She said I was too small. She didn't want her baby to get hurt. So I would just sneak away every day with my friends and play and then just come home. Because, you know, back then we didn't have cell phones or pagers or what have you. You couldn't – it was hard to be found, really hard to be found. So, you know, I kind of snuck off and played football. And she found out about it and was going to make me quit. And my coach, who I owe my entire athletic career to, Walter Evans Sr., he talked to my mom and said, you know, your son has a gift. You really need to let him play. And, you know, I started playing. And then when I went to high school, I was too small. I was getting beat up. Really started kind of second-guessing myself if I wanted to play anymore or not. And had a great career. Same thing when I got to college. I saw all the guys, and they were massive. And I was like, you know, I think I've made a mistake. I should have played basketball. But then I had a great career in college. So it was just me pushing myself to that limit. I try to treat everything like a game. And I look at it as a challenge and how I can actually play the game to win. And I do that in business. A lot of people look at their careers and they go, well, I have to go to work and I have a job. I wake up every day and I get to go play. I have like this tremendous playground. I get to write all these books. I'm on the radio. Now I have my own ESPN radio show for all those sports fans out there. I do that in the morning now. Yeah. So, you know, I get to get up every morning and play. And you know, I don't put on the suit and tie. I wear shorts and tennis shoes and a baseball cap to work every day. So it's really how you want to make your life. And I love what I do. And I love helping other people and just absolutely love every career choice that I've made.
You know, I think that's there's a key there, that to really love what you do, and I love the way you talk about it, Chris, like it's about going, being on a playground and going to play, because that's how I feel about what I do, and I think even though we've created it, I still feel very blessed that we've been able to do that and enjoy what they're doing, while so many people hate their jobs and struggle to get up and are not sort of living their dreams like you are. So you have this, I love the title of this book, and I have the photo of the book in front of me. People can't see that, but it's called Driven, and it's overcoming adversity and hardships, which you've lived, to become successful. So can you tell us a little bit about the book, and what messages or message would you like people to take away from that book that can help them?
Oh, absolutely. The book actually started when I had a career in the mortgage industry as a loan officer, and I wanted to transition out of it because, you know, for those people who don't know, the mortgage industry kind of blew up. So I wanted
hello
I
out
wanted
there.
To, right. You know, it's kind of non-existent. So I'd had a great career. I'd helped a lot of families get homes, and I was talking to a friend of mine, Tim Davis, and he's like, write a book. And I started just laughing. And I was like, dude, I don't even like to read unless it's like the sports section or Sports Illustrated. I just didn't, you know, because I had to read all day loan documents and prepare documents and all this stuff. So I'm not the kind of person that's going to go pick up a best novel and read it. That's just wasn't me. So he convinced me to write the book. And it took me months of doing research to wrap my head around it. And then he called me one day. He goes, you just got to start. You just got to do it. You know the whole Nike phrase, just do it, which is probably one of the greatest phrases on the planet. So I sat down, just do it. Yeah, I sat down, and 13 months later, I had a book. And I heard all the snickers from people when I told them I was writing a book. You know, one of my buddies asked me, well, how many pictures are going to be in it, and how many shades of crayons are you going to use? You know, it was just it was comical to people. So at that point, there again, I wanted to show people that I could accomplish something that I put my mind to. So when I got the book, I actually took a picture of it, and I emailed the picture of it to all my friends who doubted me. And, of course, they were the ones like, I'm so proud of you. I know you could do it. And it's kind of funny how they all come back around. So, but it kind of tells the story of the things that I had to go through growing up in my childhood. And not only in my childhood, but in my adult life, overcoming things seems like I said, on a daily basis. You know, I grew up with my grandmother, and we lived in the housing projects. And I remember at the beginning of the month going with her and picking up her check and that cheese and powdered milk and just the necessities that we had to have to live, you know, month to month. And being in high school and saying, people tell me I wasn't smart enough, even though I had graduated with a 3.4, and I was too small to play ball. And after I finished playing football, I wanted to get into the mortgage business. So I talked to a buddy of mine. He told me I wasn't smart enough because I didn't like numbers. And as it turned out, he ended up working for me when I opened a mortgage company years ago. So the message in the book is you can absolutely have everything that you want. It's going to take a little bit of work. But you have to sacrifice. It took me years to get what I wanted. But at the end of the day, I was doing something that I loved. I found something that I was passionate about, and I worked at it every single day. And people can have what they want. You know, one of my catchphrases that I live by is become what you desire. I wanted to be on the radio, so I started out doing the Blog Talk Radio for 2 years, and it actually opened up the door for ESPN Radio. So you just have to start with a plan, and I teach people how to start with a simple plan and goals and set those goals and then break out smaller goals so they can obtain the bigger goals that they want, you know, in the pursuit of their dream.
Right. You know, even though even though it's play because you love what you're doing, there's work involved, like you're talking about. There's work involved in creating that dream, that plan, that action plan that you're talking about, and detailing it, and also doing whatever it takes, like you have done, to live it and to make that plan, that dream, a reality. So tell us a little bit about how people, because you and I have reinvented ourselves constantly, and so how can people reinvent themselves so that they can move past their past and really move into their future and into their destiny? What do they need to get started, Chris?
They have to go and take a very long look in the mirror and understand who they are and find out truly what they are passionate about. And I hear so many people every day say, well, I hate my job, but, you know, it's a paycheck, which I understand that. You know, everybody has to live in this day and age, but there's no point in being miserable. But I think a lot of people are so afraid to just go out there and take that leap of faith that it keeps them stagnant. It keeps them from what they want to obtain. So I tell them, first and foremost, find out who you are. It took me years to find out who I was, because everybody always identified me as a football player. And they still, to some degree, they still do, just because I'm back in Knoxville now. But, you know, I wanted to break that stereotype, and I wanted people to know that I was a very savvy business person as well. So I had like a come-to-Jesus talk with myself and had to understand who I was and the things that I wanted in my life and the direction that I wanted to go. And then when I started breaking myself down and breaking some, stripping away some of those layers of fear, and convince myself that, hey, there's going to be a little bit of failure in everything that you do. It only makes you stronger. Then I was ready to get out there and tackle the world, so to speak. So I teach people all the time, you cannot be afraid to go after what you want. And you're going to be told no. People are going to laugh at you. People are going to say you're crazy. What are you doing? If you disassociate yourself a little bit from those people and distance yourself from those people, and truly work on what you want, you will get what you want if you put in the work.
You know, I strongly believe that, too, because that's what I live by. But why do you think, and I think I posed this question to my first guest, Barbara, why do you think, Chris, people are so reluctant to look themselves in the mirror and see who they really are and take the time that you and I have been talking about to figure it out?
Because, you know, we've all been conditioned by older generations and by our parents. You need to go to school. You need to get your college degree. You need to take this job. You need to stay in the same job and retire. And then you need to draw your pension and live happily ever after. It doesn't happen that way. You know, my father did that, and I love my dad to death, but I am the biggest risk taker probably in my family, if not on the planet. He went to Tennessee. He was an engineer with Nissan. He did everything I just said to the letter. He's retired now, and he is bored with his life. He has nothing to do. He calls me and my brother about 4 or 5 times a day. And now he's trying to figure out what he can do with his life now that he's all grown up. But
well,
I think
you can help him.
Right. I was there this weekend, and we talked, and I think he's going to open a consulting firm, something that he has wanted to do for the past 15 years. So I think he's headed down that direction with his passion. But I think people are afraid, number one, and they're just conditioned. They don't want to come outside of the box and do something different because they're afraid that they're going to fail. And I tell people all the time, if you knew how many times I failed at stuff, you would be amazed that I'm still walking around with a smile on my face. You're going to have
that
failure.
That's so true. I was talking to somebody the other day who said she's devastated because she got a rejection notice from a publisher. And I sort of laughed and I said, one rejection notice? Because, hello, I mean, you do something and you get rejected. So you get failure. So you figure out another way to do it. And I remember just really quickly when I left corporate America to go into business for myself, the last people that I told were my sister and my mother, because I didn't want them to say, oh, no, you can't do that. Because I knew that that's what they would do, and they would bring that fear up, and I would start doubting myself. So I think you're so right about that. Tell us a little bit more about some of your upcoming books, because you have so much on your plate and a lot that's coming up in 2012, and that's almost around the corner.
I have been extremely lucky with some of the projects that have actually fallen in my lap. For those people that don't know, last year I actually lost everything I owned in a flood that were the floods that were here in Tennessee. I lost my house, my car, my businesses, computers, everything. And I was out of control for about 8 months because I didn't know how to put the pieces of my life back together. And then one day I just went back to what I used to do. I took a look in the mirror. I had to reinvent myself again because I had nothing. Everything I'd worked for 20 years was taken away in 13 hours. So the book Mistaken is a tell-all about, it's a real intimate look into my life of things that I've had to overcome and things that I've gone through in my life. And it is probably the scariest project that I've ever attempted to tackle just because it is so in-depth. I mean, a lot of people think they know me, but they truly don't. So that's the reason for the title. But a lot of people see me as cocky or arrogant, which I'm really not. I'm a very humble person. Some people think that I'm extremely smart, but, you know, I have to work at what I do to learn. I mean, I'm self-taught in a lot of things. So I wanted to kind of break down all the stereotypes and give everyone a clear understanding of who I actually am. So that was a reason. And the book was to write another book, but it was also to help me heal and recover from some of the demons that I had for so many years and to recover from the floods. As far as the Vols for Life book and the documentary, it's a story that I felt like needed to be told because I was very fortunate enough to be on a football team that competed at a very high level across the country. But not only that, my class that I came in with in 1986 is regarded as one of, if not the greatest class to ever play football at the University of Tennessee. And I was part of that. I was part of that 22 that came in 25 years ago in August this year. So we're having our reunion October the 1st, and I got with another classmate of mine who dabbles in film, and we were like, you know what, this would make for a great documentary to show the fans, you know, a little bit about some of their favorite players that came out in that class. So we're in the process of putting all that together and start filming that. The book will come out in October when we have our reunion, and all the guys in my class are coming back, and we're going to do the whole book signings and be honored by the university. So everything has – I put everything methodically in place, and it's thankfully, it's fallen into place, but it's been a lot of work. But those two projects have been great. I've enjoyed every single minute of the interviews that I've done with my classmates, and you know, some of which I haven't seen or talked to in 20 years. And thank God for Facebook because it got us all together.
So I just found this out by listening to you. So you are actually making your own documentary, right? That's
yes,
what I got.
Yes, correct.
That's
correct.
Okay.
We have
another skill.
That's something that I had to research. I talked with the film crew, and they were telling me, "Oh, you need this, this, and this." I didn't know what a treatment was, and it's basically a layout and a plan of the whole documentary. And then we had to do a budget and find funding for it. So that was a new project. That was a new venture. So I had to do some more research to figure out how to do it. And now it's in motion. So, you know, anybody can do anything. It's just, it's what are you willing to do to get there? And that's the point I'm trying to make by telling everybody about the projects, because I don't know everything, but I can go find the information.
And like you said, whether it's on Facebook or the internet, the information is so accessible these days. You can really find anything that you need. Now, you talk a lot about how to get people motivated, and I know you have some tips for us. So can you give our listeners some tips about how they can motivate themselves? They're listening to you. You sound like this wonder person, and really you're a real-life human being who's had to handle and deal with adversity and with a lot of naysayers in his life, and you've done it. So how can people do that? How can people get started?
You've got to get out of bed and be positive. And that's the number one thing that I do every single morning. I get up out of bed, and I am so thankful that I have another day on this planet that I can just do whatever I want to do. So you've got to wake up and be positive with yourself. You know, and I talk a lot in the mirror, you know, like before I go on my shows, I go look in the mirror and say, you're going to have a great show today. Knock it out. And it's just all about how you're going to carry yourself and your personality. Because if you walk into an office, if you walk into your job and everybody can see the scowl on your face, everybody in the office is going to be in a bad mood. But if everybody in the office is in a bad mood and you walk in and you're just all chipper and happy and eager to help, you may brighten someone's day. And yep. Now I've actually started posting quotes on Facebook, and I get a lot of responses from people where they say, you know what, I really needed to hear that today. So if you take the time to roll out of bed and be positive yourself and just do positive things all day, I mean, it just, that is the first step in being motivated. And it just, it helps me tremendously. That's where I actually start. And then I try to surround myself with positive people. Because quite honestly, the negativity, I don't have time for it. I've got way too much going on for somebody to sit and complain and tell me their up stories for 30 minutes. So it's sometimes you have to break free from those negative people, and some of those people may even have to be family. But they will come back around when they see what type of life you are obtaining.
Or maybe you don't have to totally break free, but just sort of reposition them so they're not the people that call all the time or that you respond to all the time, because you don't need to be filled with that negativity. And I believe what you said too, because I think that when we are happy and smiling, it is contagious and other people feel it and respond to it, and then they feel good, and then they in turn do that to some other people, and we sort of spread that feeling of really, like you said, waking up and feeling good about yourself and good about your life, even though, and you and I know this, Chris, it's not perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you can still find something in your life, because a lot of people have very bleak lives, and something to feel good about. And I think that you live that all the time.
You're absolutely right. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard the old saying, like when you get married, if mama's happy, everybody's happy. So, you know, I try to live by that. So if I'm happy, I think everybody should be happy, just because, you know, I'm happy. I mean, we all have our own problems. We all have our own struggles that we go through. But if you really think and look at some of the things that are going on in the world, your situation is not as bad as someone else. So if you always have that mindset, you can absolutely 100% be positive.
You know, I think that's great, and I think that that's a great message for people, because people tend, and I think that we've been conditioned. You were talking about conditioning earlier. I think people are conditioned to look at what's happening that's negative in our lives, the accidents, the things that are going on, the wars, and yet people really are not being given the opportunity to see some of the good and some of the beautiful, and it's really where you put your focus. So tell us a little bit about you have two radio shows. We only have a few more minutes, but tell us a little bit about your radio shows, because they're exciting to me.
My radio show on Blog Talk Radio is 5 days a week, and I talk to everybody, authors, people that teach personal development, health and fitness, business people, and sports. I mean, I love it. It's a great mix, and it has absolutely exploded and taken off, and I've been very happy to have it for 2 years now, and a great listener base. The ESPN thing came up one day. They called me out of the blue and said, hey, we'd like for you to move to Knoxville and take this 9 o'clock slot and talk about sports. And I was like, hey, I think I can do that. So I get to get up every morning and go into a real live studio with microphones and boards and producers and do a show 5 days a week and talk about sports. And come August and September, it's going to be all about UT football, which is where I played. So I came home, so to speak.
So that just recently happened, right?
That happened a month ago. I've been on the air a month. And we've had some great reviews, some great ratings, and I'm getting to meet a lot of people in the industry and reconnecting with a lot of old fans and friends that are still here in the Knoxville area. And It's just great to be back home and great to be a part of the Tennessee tradition and a Tennessee family. So this was absolutely a move that I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to make.
Well, I think you're going to make such a difference in people's lives just by being there and doing what you do, because you do it so well. Tell our listeners, Chris, how people can get a hold of you and get a hold of your books and really kind of track your progress to see the upcoming successes, the documentary and the new book, Mistaken, that's going to be released in October.
Well, I got smart a couple months ago and condensed 3 websites and like 2 blogs into 1 location. They can go to Chris Treese. Yeah, I know, it's too much work. They can go to ChrisTreese.com, C-H-R-I-S, T as in Tom, R-E-E-C-E.com, and you can find everything there. You can even find some of the other radio show hosts that are my friends that have fabulous shows across the country. It's called the Radio Summit, the group that we formed. You can see their information. You can find out about my books, contests that I run all the time. If you'd like to book me to speak, if you want to buy the book, it's just a whole website full of information. And I just, you know, thought I'd just put it all together in one so people could just browse as much as they'd like. So it made it a whole lot easier.
Well, I think that's great, and actually you just gave me some ideas, because I was thinking, oh, I need more websites, and guess what? I don't. So that's
it's
great.
Too much work going to all those different sites.
Yeah, I think it's better to have one home, like you said, so that people can really take a look at that. We have about a minute left. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I always leave the listeners with one phrase, and that is the phrase that I live by every single day, and that is to become what you desire. If you truly take those words to heart and come up with a plan on what you want to be, you can become anything. And I tell people all the time, become what you desire. And it's really that simple.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and the beauty of it too, Chris, is that you are living proof of that, and that makes it more wonderful, because people can say, well, yeah, easy for him to say, but but it's not. It's been a struggle and challenge to what I said earlier, ultimate triumph. So I wish you the best of success, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Chris. Best of luck to you, and thanks for being a fabulous guest.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and continued success with everything that you're going, and hopefully this show, you know, touches many, many lives like I know that it will. So thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day. So, folks, we've been talking to Chris and to Barbara, and their message has been a powerful one about really going after what you want, whether you've been facing adversity or challenges or people around you, the naysayers who say, no, you can't, no, you won't, no, you don't, and prove them wrong and get on the happy side of your life, as Chris and I were just talking about. And coming up on June 15th, we're going to talk a little bit about leadership with Jewel Daniels, who's going to talk about leadership during a challenging economy. And then we're going to shift gears to another business entrepreneur, also on Wednesday, June 15th, who is Melissa Gonzalez, and she is the CEO of Lionesque Media, who really is going to talk to you about networking and business and how she's pulled that together in really brands in terms of beauty and fashion and how she's made that mix happen. And coming up on June 22nd, we're going to talk to 2 wonderful people, one who also seems to talk about how to move forward through your dreams, a Nikki Johnson Houston from homelessness to award-winning attorney, and she's going to talk about that. And without further ado, I just want to say to you, have a blessed day. Think about what you're doing. Wake up and wake up positively and share that with others, because it does work and it is contagious and it makes life powerful and beautiful. Thanks for being on our show.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about The Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.